Thank you, music team, for taking us into the very heart of the subject for this morning, Christ alone, cornerstone. It's so good to know that we're gathered together in his name this morning to rejoice in what he has done and what he still will do for us. Just a word from the missions committee again. It's always good to see these young people going out. And I just had a letter yesterday from Don Elliott in Cuba. Imagine, here he is, 86 years of age, and he's still out there communicating with us, remissions, still going strong. No such a thing as retirement. It's always interesting to hear his letters. And then I'd like to just say, add a word from the convention committee. We had a wrap-up meeting just on Thursday, and just were blessed together as we checked over the various areas of convention for which we were responsible, and saw how marvelously you responded. And so we just thank you again for being so generous with your time and response, all of you. The worship team worked endlessly for those convention services, and it all went very, very well as far as we could tell, and there were no major complaints from hospitality all the way through to the main speaker. So we were blessed. We were blessed indeed to have the National Convention right here in Grace Church. Good to see you all here this morning. I'm blessed to see you, even though some of the pews are empty. They warned me because I was speaking they were going to be gone. So I relaxed after that. I just took it for what it was worth and said, you can deal with Larry Miro when he gets back. Oh, he wouldn't want me to give you his name, of course. No, he apologized greatly for not being able to be here. So we'll accept that. Prior plans had been made. It is good to be in this, our home church this morning, to lift up the name of the Lord together. And to save my voice just a little bit, I have asked Elizabeth to come and read for us 1 Peter chapter 2. She's reading it in NIV, so follow carefully as you'll see a few changes in the connection between NIV and the New Living Translation. And I'd like you to stand while we read the Word of God and remain standing for another word of prayer.
Hi, guys. Is this on? There we go. Hi. I'm a little nervous, so please bear with me. Public speaking. Yay. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builder rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that through your... that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us.
Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this, your word. We pray your blessing upon it as we have time to meditate it this morning. Let it sink into our hearts so that we can rejoice and be glad and go from here uplifted. Take this servant of yours and hide him behind the cross this morning so that your name can be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When you think of bringing together, intertwining your message with another man's plan, I've done it before, fortunately, so it didn't scare me too much. But I had already looked at 1 Peter chapter 2 since the assignment was given me. And I said to myself, there are living stones in this chapter. These living stones need to be emphasized. And then I looked back at the first few verses, and he jumps into there with almost a reprimand. And it's get rid of all the sin and garbage in your life, is what he's talking about. And then I say to myself, how do you do that? And then you have, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And I said, well, now that's the living word. And so I came up with the living word and the living stones. And then we start serving the Lord, doing what he wants us to do. So there's living service. And then we come to the end of the chapter where Jesus says, I took it all to the cross for you. And so there's the living Savior. So living word, living stones, living service, and living Savior. Let that sink into your hearts this morning as we continue. Now just look at this living word, the living word for his message. So get rid of all evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. And I had to pull this up in the New King James, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Malice was not mentioned in the other translation. What is malice? Well, malice delights in another's hurt. Guile deliberately plans another's hurt. Hypocrisy pretends to be what it is not. Envy is sorry at another's good. Evil speaking proceeds from an evil heart and injures everyone. Now, is there any wonder why we need to get rid of those in our lives before the word can do anything to us or for us? So we can't pretend to know and love the word of God if we've got our hearts full of envy, malice, hypocrisy. Now you have these people that are all scattered about in those five different provinces that Pastor mentioned last Sunday. And they're under pressure. They're under deep pressure. How do you function under pressure? Some people function better under pressure than others do. Some just wilt and fall to the ground, and they're of no godly use. Well, under pressure, we can be alive under pressure. And that happens when we let the word of God fill our hearts. Like newborn babies, you must crave the pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation, crying out for this nourishment. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Well, you all have probably had the experience somewhere of watching a newborn baby desire milk. You have seen newborn baby calves, a lot of you. And I thought of pulling up a YouTube like Pastor does and give you a clip on trying to make a calf drink instead of suck. Well, the guy that was making this YouTube was so clumsy. I said, there's no sense in doing that. I can do a way better at that myself. And so all you do is put your hand over top of that little calf's nose and put your fingers between its lips, and it'll start sucking on your finger, and then you dip it down into the milk. And in a matter of seconds, you can pull that finger out, and it's drinking like you wouldn't believe. In about 30 seconds, you've got that little calf drinking. Well, another clip came up that I'll just describe for you. It was a huge tank. Of course, these dairy farmers don't want to give them the real milk. That's saleable. So they give them powdered milk, and you've got to get that into your baby calves somehow or other. Well, how do you get that into a herd of about 60 calves? Well, I kid you not, this big tank comes up. You check it in, teaching a calf to drink in your Google, and you will find them pulling that out there, basically in a little quad. They pull this out into the pasture, and it's got these special teats all the way around this circular tank. And those calves are around there in seconds. They're all rounded that tank, and I think they had 30 of them at the same time, sucking away like you wouldn't believe, enjoying this powdered milk. Good for them. It's not the real thing, but it'll do. The real thing is in the Word of God. Now just listen to this from Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. And then Psalm 19, 7 to 11. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The law of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How many of you have ever tasted honey directly from the honeycomb? You visit an apiary or a bee place of some kind, and you can buy for a few cents, you can buy a piece of honeycomb with the honey in it. It's a little bit like chewing on wax, but because of the honey in it, it's very, very sweet wax. Try it. It's good to eat. This is why in the Bible you have the story of them reaching in to the carcass of a lion and pulling out the honey. It always, that story just makes me shudder, because in a carcass of a lion, well, the bees liked it in there and they made a nest in there. And the passerby reaches in, takes some of the honey, and it livened them up because they have a shot of sugar and kept them going for a longer battle. Honey from the honeycomb. That's what we need when we need to get into the Word of God and know how it operates in our lives. The living stones for God's house. Living stones are you and me in action. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by the people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. What's a cornerstone? A stone that forms the base of a corner of a building, joining two walls, an important quality or a feature on which a particular thing depends on or is based upon. Synonyms for a cornerstone: foundation, basis, keystone, mainspring, mainstay, linchpin, bedrock, backbone, key, counterpiece, core, heart, center, crux. How many of those words did you know? Most of them we can catch on to pretty easily. These are all synonyms for cornerstone. I grabbed the phone, and I picked up the phone, and I called who but the contractor of this church, Larry Merrill. I said, Larry, does our church have a cornerstone? Just about hesitated a moment, and then he said, yes, we do. And I thought, well, where is it? I've never seen that thing. It's got to be in one of the corners. It's, you know, like it is in municipal buildings with a nice date on it, and it was built in such and such a year, etc. And it ties into the wall, and it ties into usually two walls. It's on a corner. It's a cornerstone. He says, our cornerstone is a little different than the usual cornerstone. Our cornerstone is a red brick that sits just outside the door to your left as you go out on the corner where that old announcement sign is. You look right about your eye level, and there's a red brick that sticks out quite a bit. Good to go and look at it. And Larry explained to me that on one of the missions trips to China, they were building a church in China, and that is a Chinese red baked brick from that church construction site in China. And Larry said, because we are a missions church, that church becomes our cornerstone. And that is why you see that red brick at the corner sticking out. Say a prayer for missions every time you glance at the red brick. That's our cornerstone. Fantastic explanation. I really liked it. Living stones. You are a living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. That's you and me, a spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests through the meditation of Jesus Christ. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him, recognize the honor God has given you. The stone that the builders rejected is Jesus Christ. He was not received. His own didn't receive him, and he was put off till later. He is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. Why does he do that? Simply because we don't believe him and don't want to do what he tells us to do. And that's the only reason we stumble. When we believe his word, follow through his word, no need to stumble. Then you go through the next few verses and you have the living sacrifice or the living service for God. And I couldn't help but slip in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God's transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's what we want. Young people, I remember when I was your age how I longed to know the will of God. That became the most important thing in my life. And then at what age 17, when I went to Bible school, those 3 years in Bible school, 17, 18, and 19, that's all I wanted day after day after day, is the will of God. Is this your will for me? And slowly, step by step, that will was revealed as we traveled along. But you are not like that. Peter says, as he writes to us, not like the ones that stumble. Why? because you are a chosen people. Jesus says in John's gospel, you have not chosen me, I chose you. Let's get that through our heads. We have been chosen by God. You are a royal priesthood, so that we can function anywhere we are in a priestly way, bringing others to repentance, bringing others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and trusting him. Thirdly, you are a holy nation, a nation of people that is set apart. Think of our First Nations people. What if they were all set apart for the Savior? Some of them are. It's good to know some. So know some. You asked Randy about some in the Lake Arrowhawk area. They're there. They're in church, probably this Sunday morning. Oh, Bobby might be walking in when you're halfway through the introduction, maybe even a little further than that in your message. But he comes. There's Bobby, because he's part of the chosen nation. You are God's very own possession. Man, I love that. I belong to God. Isn't that precious when you stop and think of it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. I remember I was just a young person in church. Some of our sermons were still in the German language. And that's one message I remember, because he brought that out. And NLT is the first translation that I have found that brings it out like the old German. You are bought with an expensive price. Here he says high price. You are bought with an expensive Christ. Jesus, our Savior, went all the way to the cross of Calvary to save you and to save me. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity, now you've got an identity. Once you received no mercy, now you've received mercy. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Well, guess why? Why do we have to be careful? Worry about our neighbors. They can think what they like. No, that isn't the way we operate. We are careful how we live among them. We are careful that we show them. You might be interested to know that I was young youth pastor here back in 19... Oh, honey, what year was that? 69, 70? Year 70, somewhere in there. And I got a job selling Filter Queen vacuum cleaners. And now when I first saw what that was, I said, oh no, not one of those. Oh, he said to me, the sales manager said, you come with me on one demonstration. So I went with him on one demonstration. And sure enough, he did a demonstration. And I said to myself, I can do that just as well. And so before you know it, I was making $700 a month instead of $400 a month because I was selling Filter Queen vacuum cleaners. And they were good. So what happened? After a good sale, the sales manager wanted me to stop for drinks at the hotel just down the hill. And I said, no, I will have to decline that. I said, oh, that's all right. You don't have to drink. I'll buy you a soft drink. Yes, I said, but that's not my only reason for not wanting to stop at the hotel. I said, there's a group of young people just up the hill there on Busby Street, the old church. There's a group of young people up there. If they happen to be in the car and come driving down the hill and see me walk out of the hotel, they're going to have all kinds of red lights and question marks go off in their minds. And that will be a wrong testimony to them. So do we have to consider how we live? Before the world around us, they know way better how we should live than we do. And so we need to be careful. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. If they make foolish accusations, pray God that they're not true. And if they're true, fall on your knees, confess your sin, and bring them to Jesus on the cross of Calvary. It even gives orders like this to the slaves. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. What does that do to us who don't like slavery? Who would say, horror of horrors, you've read the stories of the slave ships and the slaves coming from Africa. And then you've been there and seen them and know how they respond, how they love to serve you. We had a houseboy. My shoes were always shiny as can be right beside the door. And of course, in Africa, there's always dust on the shoes. But he never left before he had shined my shoes at night. They serve with joy and purpose. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffers. Yes, we are alive under pressure. He is your example. Then we see the living Savior. And the living Savior, of course, is represented before us here this morning. He never sinned. He never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, we are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. That's the Savior that we serve, the living Word, active in our hearts, makes out of us living stones so that we can be living servants of his and serve a living Savior day by day. Father God, we thank you once again for this morning service. Pray that you will just underline every necessary part for each heart present here this evening. We pray, Heavenly Father, now that your great grace will reach out and touch each individual here. The love of the Savior will penetrate our hearts and make us useful servants of yours, living servants of yours. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives would make this an active event for us today and throughout this week. God bless you. Go in the peace of the Lord today.